Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Wherever you're listening, whether you're working from home or off from home, if you're someone who's lost your job and filing for unemployment, you're in very good company. So many people, including many of our listeners, are in that circumstance. We are with you in spirit, and we're here to provide you with whatever information we think is helpful. We also are getting wonderful recommendations from listeners as to information that they'd like from us. So we're doing our best to try and serve what your need is, regardless of your circumstance right now. One of the hardest hit groups, of course, are renters right now, whether that's small business owners who are renting commercial properties and there is no business at this point, no money that's coming in, and simply no way to pay the rent, or at least the full rent, or whether it's residential renters concerned about being evicted who are not able to pay the rent because they've lost their jobs. And of course, eviction has critical health vulnerability even beyond the typical extreme stress of one losing his or her home. With us to talk about what protections are now in place at the local, state, and federal level is the Executive Director of Tenants Together, statewide coalition of local tenant organizations, Lupe Areola. Ms. Areola, thank you very much for being with us. First of all, is there a thorough freeze on people being evicted from their properties right now? Ms. Areola, are you there? Okay, we'll try and get her back. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722. Also with us is Senior Vice President for the California Apartment Association's Los Angeles office, Fred Sutton. Mr. Sutton, thank you, sir, for joining us. What right now are the biggest concerns of your members?
No, absolutely. These are unprecedented times, and we're all in this together and all have our roles to play to get through this. I think housing providers' concerns are the same concerns that everybody has. It's economic security. It's keeping ourselves safe and healthy and keeping all of our residents safe and healthy during these trying times. Housing providers have a huge role to play in this. And CAA, we put out guidelines to help a lot of our residents get through this.
All right. And what's being done for your members who hold, you know, who are paying on large mortgages and all, and their rents are going to be at least in part drying up? What sorts of measures do they have to help them handle those mortgages?
We're incredibly concerned about that. We've earlier this week put out a call to our federal legislators and the state to take actions to help us defer some of these mortgage payments, and been asking that if we are having trouble making mortgage payments due to result of loss of income from our residents, that we're able to tack these onto the back of mortgages. There are pieces of this that are coming down through the package that's coming down federally, and there has also been some movement at the state level, particularly when it comes to 1 to 4 units of multifamily, but it needs to go much further. We need more relief for mortgage deferral.
Fred Sutton with us, California Apartment Association, Lupe Areola of Tenants Together. Ms. Areola, thank you for being with us. So what sorts of protections are in place for residential tenants?
Hi, Larry. Good morning. Thank you for having us. So right now, there isn't any one set of protections at the state level that's specifically to address our current situation. There are some, last year, the legislature did pass the Tenant Protection Act of 2019, which was AB 1482, that did provide some baseline rent cap, as well as some baseline just cost protections for certain units and for certain tenants. And so that's still in place. There is currently also at the state level, the price gouging provisions that are active once the governor enacted a state of emergency at the state level that also enacted some price gouging protections, which is great. But in terms of an eviction protection at the state level, that's an eviction moratorium or a rent freeze at the state level, that is not something that's currently in place. And that's something that we have been demanding of Governor Newsom. We have sent thousands of letters to him. Hundreds of organizations have banded together to send letters to him. But so far, we have not received any indication that he's going to do that.
Many of the state's largest cities have done this on their own. Los Angeles, Long Beach, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose. So it does seem on a city-by-city basis, many of them are implementing their own moratoriums on evictions.
Yes, absolutely. So right now, definitely even entire counties have done so. San Mateo County has enacted an eviction moratorium for their entire county, which is great. We also have to keep in mind that there's over 500 cities in California. And so to expect every single city to do so, to pass an eviction moratorium, especially while most of them are not meeting in person, and is definitely something that we want the governor to keep in mind and know that we need blanket protections that are going to apply to every city and every county, and that people will be able to rely on during this time.
We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We're talking about the stressors on tenants as well as property owners with the dramatic change in the economy as a result of efforts to control COVID-19. 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. We have listener Mike in Studio City says, I'm a small landlord. We have tenants saying they can't pay, but at this point, they're receiving benefits. They're able to recoup some of their losses, but it's really putting landlords in an unnecessary bind. Fred Sutton, you want to respond to Mike's point?
Yeah, absolutely. Most all these eviction moratoriums that are being put in have a clause for a deferral of this rent for up to 6 months. We're encouraging people to work on payment plans and really with these moratoriums, make sure that they're on a short fuse of 30 days to be able to review every 30 days. I think we're all very hopeful and hoping that this crisis ends as soon as possible, but we just need to stay in constant review and make sure that there's a mechanisms that you're going to be able to have relief through this.
And is the idea that the tenants would then have to, over a period of time, pay the rent that they had not paid previously? And how is it proposed that that take place? Over what period of time would they repay the missing rent?
Yeah, the most of these eviction moratoriums and the ones that we're understanding of, it's very narrowly tailored to non-payment of rent due to issues arising from and loss of income from the virus. And the deferral of rent that was put out in the guidelines by the governor is up to 6 months. And that seems to be reasonable for those that can document that and show that they are facing economic loss due to this to be able to work out a payment plan with the housing provider over the next few months.
Okay, so that means repayment, that they would become current within a six-month period after the moratorium ends.
Correct.
Okay.
If you do that coupled with mortgage relief for those that are facing these issues as housing providers, I think that is a way forward for all of us to get through this.
We're talking with the California Apartment Association Senior VP of the LA office, Fred Sutton. Also with us, Lupe Areola, Executive Director of Tenants Together, a statewide coalition of tenant organizations. If you'd like to talk with our guests about concerns you have either as a tenant or as a property owner, we're at 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in just 1 minute on Air Talk. There's been an ongoing power struggle between Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva and the County Board of Supervisors. That's coming to a head on whether the sheriff should continue as the head of the county's Emergency Operations Center. Obviously, that's a critical issue right now with the efforts to stem COVID-19. So it's coming to a head. And next hour on Air Talk, you're going to be privy to that struggle right now. We're going to talk with Sheriff Villanueva. We'll also talk with L.A. County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl. They'll be joining us next hour on Air Talk, and we'll hear what they have to say about this. We're talking right now about tenants and property owners and how to deal with the significant financial effects of COVID-19. We're talking with Lupe Areola of Tenants Together, Fred Sutton of the California Apartment Association. Dennis in Long Beach says, I'm a landlord. If tenants don't pay, they get to stay in their apartment. If we don't pay, we lose our building. Where are the protections for us? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Lupe Areola, let me ask you about the idea of a six-month repayment of the outstanding rent. I would think that that's going to be extremely difficult for people who aren't able to pay rent right now because of the loss of income. Is it realistic they'd repay it in half a year?
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, and I think, again, we're in unprecedented times when our economy has basically, you know, ground to a halt, where people are not being able to, where people are not making a wage, people have lost their jobs. And I think we have to come to grips with the fact that once this specific global pandemic is under control in the U.S., it's not going to be able to be back to business as normal the next day. It's going to take time for people to be able to get themselves back into find a job potentially, get themselves back into work, be able to, and so then, definitely when people are having to go back to work with this debt around their necks, and having only a certain amount of time to do to pay it back, we feel definitely it, it basically makes people start out already behind, basically. And so it's really important that we keep in mind that the guidelines that are being put out by our by the government, whether it be the state, federal, local, are really guidelines based on what they think is going to happen, because we've never been in this position in recent history. And so those guidelines are going to need to be changed, are going to need to be amended, and are going to have to be, according to how the conditions change and according to how long it takes us to really get back to, a quote-unquote, like a normal society.
Governor Newsom announced that he had negotiated with four large banks. No, these are only going to be a fraction of the mortgages, but to give a three-month grace period for landlords of residential property. That doesn't necessarily help out owners of commercial property. But Fred Sutton, do you have any sense what percentage of mortgages those four banks represent and whether that would be a template for other mortgage lenders to follow?
It's a lot and it's a great start, but it definitely needs to be expanded to encompass all multifamily. That mostly is going to cover 1 to 4. So if you have 6 units, I think you're going to find yourself struggling right away on getting forbearance. So the federal government needs to step in to push and expand something similar.
All right, 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. I look forward to your questions for our guests. Has there been any talk of property taxes being deferred, Fred Sutton?
We've been asking the state. Only the state can actually extend those deadlines, and we've been asking the state for it. The county tax collector for Los Angeles County and the assessor have already said that they will waive late fees if it is documented that the loss is due to coronavirus and you can't make your payments due to the coronavirus.
We have listener Greg who asks on Facebook, what documentation should landlords ask from tenants to document that tenants are in financial distress and can't pay their full rent? Fred?
There's a variety of documentation that someone could put forward, such as a note from an employer that the restaurant's been closed, medical bills, you name it, something from the school district. There's a whole host of documentation that can be provided that shows that you are suffering financially due to this.
Lupe Areola of Tenants Together, if someone gets evicted because they can't afford to pay their rent, what steps can they take to avoid being out on the street?
So let me back up a little bit and just say that if any any housing provider, in terms of they're asking for documentation, they should also keep in mind that not everybody has a traditional employment, and that not everybody has one job. So they might, people need to be kind of definitely more flexible with the type of documentation that people can provide, as well as keeping in mind that some people are having to stay home because they have children to take care of, or because they have someone who's ill, because they themselves are ill. So just, I think it's really important that we keep in mind that there's a whole gamut of reasons why people are losing wages and are losing jobs due to COVID. It's not just because the business closed down. So second, if anybody receives an eviction notice, it's really important that they first find out what kind of protections are available at their local, at state, and at the federal level. Definitely right now receiving an eviction notice is going to be extremely, it's always stressful to receive an eviction notice. Right now especially, it's going to feel especially stressful because basically it could be the difference between you sheltering in place and not having a shelter not having a place to shelter in. And so right now it's really important that people first, take a deep breath, find out what kind of protections are at the local, state, and federal level, and also make sure that they don't move out. And they definitely try to get some legal assessment locally. The majority of legal aid organizations are still taking clients and are still giving advice, but over the phone due to the shelter-in-place restrictions. But people should definitely be informed and get informed before they make any decisions and before they take any steps to move out or to look for other housing.
Anthony in Chino says, we need more financial support for landlords. My worry is that after a few months, my tenants may move out and I may not get anything at all. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. I want to thank our guests, Lupe Areola of Tenants Together and Fred Sutton of the California Apartment Association. I just want to share with you that Richard Reeves, the noted author and syndicated columnist, many times a guest with us on Air Talk. He wrote for more than 50 years. He died today, in Los Angeles. He had been in failing health in recent years. He wrote a number of books about American politics and history and was on Air Talk over a span of probably more than 25 years on this program, talking about his books. Our condolences to his family. Again, Richard Reeves, syndicated columnist and author, died at the age of 83 yesterday in Los Angeles. Much more to come in the second hour on Air Talk.